justification. Now, is this fantasy or is this real life? Well, let's talk about it a little bit. Here is an example of what we call the brainstem phenotype. So in some patients, we believe the dominant neurodegeneration occurs at the brainstem. In other words, lower part of the medulla and the olfactory bundle. This group will evolve into these two phenotypes, park sleep, park autonomic. Park sleep will then evolve into three dominant phenotypes. One group will be excessively sleepy, one group have largely REM behavior disorder, another group have insomnia. Park autonomic will express various forms of bowel or genitourinary autonomic dysfunction. And the second group is the limbic phenotype. That's the limbic system within the brain. That's the pathological correlate. Their involvement largely occurs in the limbic area. Different to that, this group will express three different things. They'll express depression and anxiety, and that will go into the subtypes of anxiety and depression. They'll express fatigue, which looks like central fatigue, and pain, all of which are driven through the limbic pathway. The depression anxiety will overlap with the brainstem phenotype as well. The third phenotype relates to the cortical Parkinson's. Here the involvement is mainly in the frontal area, the basal forebrain bundle, and also in the visuospatial posterior cortical areas. Here they will have park cognitive, which evolves into three different phenotypes. One, mild cognitive impairment with amnestic MCI. Second, with mild memory deficit, that is. Second group develops apathy. And the third group go on to develop frank late-onset dementia. Of course, both amnestic MCI and apathy will then finally probably evolve onto dementia. So that is not all. We have this, we have this. A lot of research has gone into this, but these are also equally important in my view. What about, can we prove this? Well, there's a little bit of work on fatigue, for instance. Fatigue is a very dominant draining loss of energy in patients. Fatigue can be present in 37% of people who are untreated and not depressed, for instance. And very recently, and fatigue is very different to sleepiness. The two are quite different, and I won't go into the details of it, but we can look at it. Now, this is some work which recently published with the Imperial College, David Brooks's group. We wanted to look at, because people were saying, oh, you're fantasizing, everybody's fatigued, you know, it's not what's there in fatigue. But we compared a group of patients with fatigue, without fatigue, and controls using dopamine and, based on animal model studies, serotonin binding, another different chemical in the brain. Here is a patient. This is serotonin in the brain, not dopamine. Healthy volunteer, you can see the serotonin lighting up in the basal ganglia. Patient without fatigue, as measured by the Parkinson's PFS-16 scale. Same thing, very similar to the healthy controls. Here is a patient with fatigue, severe fatigue, complete washout of the serotonin binding within the brainstem. Clinically, this patient has park fatigue phenotype. And that's marked by lack or loss of serotonin in the striatal and also in the thalamic areas. This has, of course, major treatment implications. Based on this, we are soon to start a clinical study looking at serotonin active drugs for fatigue in Parkinson's. What about sleepiness? Well, of course, sleepiness can lead to accidents, as you can see. And it was described before that you can fall asleep while driving, for instance, and this was blamed on some dopamine agonists. Since then, we know that sleep attacks can occur very regularly in Parkinson's. We think it's a subgroup of Parkinson's. Are there any biomarkers for this? Because this is park sleep type 2. What are the biomarkers? Well, this is, again, just to amplify, brainstem phenotype, park sleep, three types, and we think excessive daytime sleepiness and the sleepiness falls in type 1, not type 2, sorry. So there is another piece of work, again, from the Imperial Group and ourselves, showing some differences. Here, again, we looked at the serotonin and dopamine. We looked at here the arousal system of the brain. The arousal system, which allows us to stay awake and fall asleep, falls in the brainstem. Here is a patient, normal patient, Here's a patient without sleep attacks and excessive daytime sleepiness. Again, you see very normal imaging. Here is somebody with excessive daytime sleepiness, severe sleep attacks, complete washout again of serotonin, but this time in a different area of the brain. Not the striatum, but in the raphe area, which is the arousal area of the brain. And this can be translated to this part. You can see the two discrete hotspots coming up. So your park sleep phenotype with sleepiness is being marked by dopamine, a serotonin loss in these two areas of the wakening center, whereas those with fatigue, the same problem is occurring in a different area of the brain, the limbic area. So that again justifies trying to subcategorize this patient, because the way you would treat a patient like this would be probably quite different to the way you treat somebody with fatigue. Staying on with that theory, treatment of excessive daytime sleepiness, I won't go into the detail of it. There is also reasonable evidence now that coffee can be very good. Caffeine has a positive effect on sleepiness. Interestingly, caffeine also has a very good effect on the serotonergic pathway in the raphe area, further support of our PET hypotheses that the park sleep phenotype is a different one. And if we stay on with that a little bit more, I haven't mentioned this, and perhaps I just should go back. The other thing that marks this phenotype where people fall asleep, we think, is lack of another chemical called orexin. These patients who have the park sleep cognitive phenotype, park sleep phenotype, have loss or are likely to have loss of orexin, which is a peptide, a different hormone in the cerebrospinal fluid. At the moment, we're not good at measuring it, but already people have shown that pathology